Breaking news today on Seculo as the deep state turns on President Biden.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So Axios has uncovered an internal State Department memo blasting President Biden and the U.S. policy on the Israel-Hamas war. Usually the deep state would take the side of the Democrats, but not when they are in opposition to their leftist ideology and support for, Hamas. I mean, it's hard to say that, but it seems like, as though that is the truth. The memo was transmitted to the State Department's policy office on November 3rd. It opens by noting that there were recent atrocities committed by Hamas on October 7th, a reference to the Hamas attack on Israel that killed 1,400 people and ignited the war. But the memo, signed by 100 State Department and USAID employees, urges U.S. officials to reassess their policy towards Israel and demand a ceasefire in Gaza. Without offering a specific example, the memo accuses Biden, President Biden, of, quote, spreading, get this, misinformation in his October 10th speech supporting Israel. That was a speech 3 days after the attack, before Israel had even formulated a plan, Dad, on how exactly to respond to this atrocity.
You know, it's interesting because the State Department spokesperson said that the State Department is proud that there's an established procedure for employees to articulate policy disagreements directly to the attention of senior department leaders without fear of retribution. This was made to the president of the United States. This wasn't some office, you know, supervisor. This was the sitting president of the United States. I'd get rid of these people. I don't understand why we're allowing in the State Department, for instance, and Homeland Security, these, you know, agents of Hamas. It's got to stop. And if we don't clean it out internally, now you got the deep state not turning on President Trump, turning on President Biden. It's the same scenario over and over again. The statement understands, we understand, we expect, we appreciate that different people working in the department have different beliefs about what the United States policy should be. Is there really a different policy on Hamas and Israel? Are we really going to buy into this moral equivalency that's going on? Do we really believe for a moment that what the university presidents who have not spoken out to protect their Jewish students or pro-Israel Christian students on their campus, what do we call them other than, you know, no backbone? Now, we're going to announce a win in a few minutes in the next segment of the broadcast. And it's important because when these students are being harassed, they can call the ACLJ for help and we get results. But these presidents of universities are not speaking out. Anti-Semitism is the highest in our lifetime. And I thought about this yesterday. My grandparents lived through the Holocaust. A lot of my family did not. My father and mother were the sons and daughters of people that either were in the United States already and safe or had relatives that were killed in the Holocaust. Their grandson, me, I never thought I would see it in my lifetime again. But here it is. Brutality on the scale of the Nazis. And Jordan's generation is seeing it too. That means my grandkids' generation are seeing it too. So for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, the hate of the Jews, which goes back to the time of the Bible, continues, and the Nazi-like regimes are in full tilt right now.
Yeah, and full tilt all over the world, including the Western world. And so what you're seeing now is, you know, we used to point out time and time again, remember, they'll say anti-Israel because they don't want to say anti-Jewish. What they really mean is anti-Jewish. And now they've dropped that. I mean, you're seeing the comments, the protests are talking about Jews. And they're not trying to cover up and just say, oh, it's about Israel. It's about Jews now. They don't want Jews, and whether it's in London, where people are getting on, you know, mass transit saying, are there any Jews in here, and then attacking them? Or you look Jewish, so they're getting attacked? I mean, this is happening. You're seeing the videos all over the country. We have to fight back. We have to stand back, of course, again, with our Faith and Freedom Drive. You could double the impact of your support to the ACLJ as we fight back here in the United States and around the world. ACLJ. Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. I mean, if you've got college students across the country, you may be hearing reports from them about what's going on their campuses from across the country, these mass protests. Some led by professors, some, again, supported by schools or schools looking the other way. Today, we are filing four major appeals to the United Nations demanding international action for the hostages that you met that were with us last week in Washington, D.C. We could be representing as many as 120 more hostage families as of this week as that team returns to Israel to speak with them. But we're also fighting anti-Semitism right here at home in the United States. And it's this time, it's at Rutgers University in New Jersey, where, again, you see the all-out assault and attack on Jewish students.
In an unprecedented way, to where the SBA was sanctioning a Jewish student who simply was on the SBA, the Student Bar Association, who simply spoke out and said, hey, these pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian groups are making statements that are not only wrong, but hurtful, put me in fear and jeopardy and other Jewish students in jeopardy, and they were going to expel him from the Student Bar Association. Until the ACLJ came in, we sent a demand letter to the, let's put it up on the screen. This was to the university, and this is what we received back. And it was, in essence, I won't read the whole thing, is that the SBA has been suspended pending a full review. There it is. Writing to notify you that the SBA has been temporarily suspended. No further actions or meetings will take place until further notice. This means that our meeting tonight will not be taking place, including the vote on the budget and swearing in of new members. No SBA business will be conducted until we communicate otherwise. So a huge win for that student. The SBA went after him. We went after the SBA with Rutgers, and Rutgers disbanded the Student Bar Association. It's important that we do that. If you are a student having these problems, call the ACLJ. In order to meet all of these legal demands that we're having, whether it's at the UN, whether it's for students, whether it's in lawsuits that will be filed, we've launched our Faith and Freedom Drive, as you know. Your tax-deductible gifts will be doubled dollar for dollar through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to ACLJ.org to donate today. You also can become an ACLJ champion with a recurring monthly gift. So when you make your gift, it's doubled. And then if you make it a monthly gift, you become an ACLJ champion. Our goal is to add by this time next year about 15,000 to 17,000 new champions. I think we've added over almost 1,000, maybe more than that now. Will, maybe you can get me the number of ACLJ champions. By the way, it's already having a direct impact on our budget. We see reports every day, and the recurring donations are going up, and that's because of you. So go to ACLJ.org to donate to our ACLJ Faith and Freedom Drive. Also, we have over 14,000 of you downloaded our new prayer guide, and your prayers are having a powerful effect in all of our efforts. Let me say something about that. This is the ACLJ Faith and Freedom Prayer Guide. It's brand new. We encourage you to download it. We've had about 70,000 of the prayer guides, maybe 80,000 of these prayer guides already downloaded for the ACLJ. But let me tell you something. We need your prayers, folks. Let me tell you. We had a week of meetings, and it was, and Jordan was there. It's very intense. It's very emotional. It's spiritually draining to see what these people are going through. There is a real possibility that we're going to have by the beginning of December, which is just a couple of weeks, a major series of European meetings in both Brussels and in Strasbourg, France, at our ECLJ there, with members of parliament, leaders of the community, and faith groups. It's going to be trying to make sure these hostages can get free, putting on international pressure. We are also working on other avenues, including working with the Qataris. We've already had a meeting there. All of that to say, your support's making a huge difference. Continue to pray for us. Ask for that prayer guide. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We're also going to take your phone calls today at 800-684-3110. In the next segment, we're going to get into this. Finally, we've done it at the ACLJ. But in the interim, we talked about this internal memo, which is absurd. We talked about last week the Homeland Security person that was pro-Hamas, that is an adjudicator for asylum and refugees, and condemns Israel and praises Hamas. We've talked to you about the students. What about the U.S. strikes against the strikes that are being obtained by United States military bases in the Middle East? I think the number's now, what is it, 52? Yeah, I mean, it's close to 52. With traumatic brain injuries, and we're doing, our response has been to knock out two empty warehouses. That's the problem with all this, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, so far, as you see, the responses are, it just doesn't seem even proportional. And again, you see, again, continued attacks, 56 attacks on U.S. troops and bases within this region. And I know the Biden administration is trying to play this game, Dad, where they're trying not to connect this directly to Israel and Hamas, because they think that if that's done, then you're going into at least a regional war, if not a world war situation. So they're trying to keep it quieter. At the same time, though, these are U.S. troops being fired upon by the same actors who are funding the people firing upon the and committing the atrocities against Israelis.
Yeah, and then you've got the whole issue, and we talked about this in the first segment, of the internal difficulty in the State Department where they're not taking the president's directive. By the way, President Biden has moved another naval group into the Mediterranean Sea, which is necessary because the Iran situation is at a titular point here. But let me just tell you something. And I'm glad he's done that. But if you got State Department personnel sending letters of protest to what the President of the United States, who constitutionally is the one who sets our foreign policy, constitutionally is the one that does that. Fire these people. Get rid of them. They're not following the leadership of their government. It's fine that they could have different opinions, but when they're starting to criticize the president's foreign policy plans, our enemies love this, folks. Iran loves that they have infiltrated the State Department to such an extent that the State Department will do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, this is again the issue that we talk about. Whether it is Republican or Democrat, you can have very strong language at the top, whether it's a President Trump, whether it's a Rick Grenell, whether it's a Mike Pompeo, whether it's a President Biden with tough language. But then it gets undermined within these bureaucracies so that you're not really able to set the tone for the policies that need to be put in place for the executive. You know, when the executive talks, the executive branches are supposed to listen to that and follow, and then put those words into policies. And what you're seeing here is a protest against what the executive branch wants the State Department to be doing.
Well, here's why. Because CBS is reporting that they are conducting, quote, listening sessions inside the State Department. They're having this listening session at the State Department with employees, both Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, and the Acting Deputy Secretary, Victoria Nuland, have met multiple times with employees from across the department, including those serving the Near East Affairs and Political Military Affairs Bureaus. The meetings have been emotionally charged, including candid exchanges, and some have been standing room only, the two sources familiar with them said. I got to tell you something. Why are we doing this? I mean, what is the reason we're doing this? The president sets the policy. The job of the associates is to implement that policy. If you want to have disagreements in your policy internally, that's fine, but don't bubble that up to the president of the United States, whose policy, once it's made, is the commander-in-chief of the United States. Why is that so hard for the left to understand? That they will not recognize this, but they're undermining our capacity and our capabilities. And what really has me concerned here, Jordan, is it is a continual grind and impacting international diplomacy.
I mean, the CBS is reporting that they are hosting these listening sessions at the State Department that they're having with employees in Washington, both Blinken and the Acting Deputy Secretary, Victoria Nuland. They've met several times with employees from across the department, including those serving in the Near East Affairs and Political Military Affairs Bureaus. Again, hundreds of people are coming to these. Standing room only.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a lot more than the 100 who are willing to put themselves on their name. This is like a revolt with inside the State Department. So, again, even when you've gotten, we talked about this with some of our Democrat colleagues as well. Even when you've got this strong language coming out of the Biden administration in support of Israel, and it's been very strong, the words he's used so far, it's not being backed up by the people below it.
That's the problem.
And it even starts with started on Friday and over the weekend when Secretary Blinken started saying, you know what, we still stand behind Israel, but there's too many Palestinians getting killed. That played right into what the Palestinians wanted
exactly.
to hear. Because all they have to play is Secretary of State of the United States says Israel killing too many Palestinians. They don't want to play the part of him saying they need to carry on their mission. They need to carry on their mission to eradicate Hamas, but they need to watch out on the civilian casualties. They don't take that part. They clip that part out. All they say is Israelis killing too many Palestinians, and that's what spreads around the world.
That's why, folks, we've launched our ACLJ Faith Drive. And I'll tell you something. This Faith and Freedom Drive is very, very important. Your tax-deductible gifts will be doubled dollar for dollar through the ACLJ's drive. Go to ACLJ.org to donate today. You can also become an ACLJ champion. Let me tell you something. When you make this a monthly gift, we then get a budget that we can build on. So go to ACLJ.org, make that donation. It'll be matched. And if you can hit monthly, you become an ACLJ champion. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Sekio, we are taking your calls too at 1-800-684-3110 as this gets more complicated as you get further away from October 7th and you see the images over the weekend, massive protest in support, very violent rhetoric used all over the country against Jews, against Israel. You see the one-off attacks, you see again, the protest in major cities and at universities as well. But we do have news to report, Dad. Positive victories on college campuses where we've been fighting back well before this conflict began because, I mean, I can't remember how many times we've come on this broadcast to talk about the anti-Semitism growing and the anti-Israel sentiment on our college campus. It's been for years that we've been fighting back. First, it was the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. And they said, oh, see, this is about Israel. It's not about all Jews. It's about what Israel's doing. And now it's gone to another level. Jewish students are being targeted on major college campuses all over the country by these activist groups, and they're trying to get them in trouble, either get them banned.
Here they wanted him impeached.
Yeah.
So we had a student that was on the SBA, and he saw these horrible things being said about himself and other Jewish students and what Jewish students were doing, and he raised a protest, and they said, oh, you violated the rules of the SBA by letting people know who were saying these awful things. Which, of course, everybody knew who was saying the awful thing. They were going to throw him out. Well, the American Center for Law and Justice went to work. Go ahead and put on the screen. This is the letter that we said, demand letter, alleging violations of Title VI. The letter, by the way, is 9 pages long. I'm happy to report that after we drafted our demand letter, the SBA, this is a big deal, the Student Bar Association of Rutgers has been suspended. And it says no further actions or meetings will take place until further notice. This means that our meeting tonight will not be taking place, including the vote on the budget and swearing in of new members. No SBA business will be conducted until we communicate otherwise. It says, do not use the SBA group meet for any SBA business purposes. If you're unsure what that means, contact these people. And then it's signed by the president of the SBA. That was because the school made them send that out. So that's a positive win. We have also sent out a Freedom of Information Act request also as well, Jordan, that has gone out as well.
Yeah, that's right. This is again going to the State Department about the money that's gone into Hamas. You remember they talk about the humanitarian money, and we've talked about the fact that even Israel has tried to deliver. You know, this is interesting, doesn't get hardly reported, yeah. But there have been areas here where these hospitals have run out of power, and Israel was actually dropping off. I mean, this shows you the difference between Israel and Hamas. Gas and power sources to those hospitals in Gaza that they know underground are being run of the Hamas territories. But they still want the people in the hospitals to have to be safe. And you know what the Hamas people said? Don't go out there. Don't trust the Jewish guests.
Fuel. Right.
So there they go. They give them, literally, the IDF risked their life to give them the fuel so that they could go out and get it and turn their hospitals back on, and Hamas won't let them.
Hamas wants, they have no regard for the Palestinians. I mean, you're kidding yourself.
The more Palestinians that die,
the better off
the more
they
children
are.
That die, the more that they can videotape or at least appear to be dead, because a lot of these videos they send are fake, and you can see it.
Yep.
I mean, it gets exposed a lot in especially in the time of social media, where you'll see someone just playing a dead body and then
you're
watching the video and then the guy sits back up.
Right.
And it's like, oh no, look this way, look that way, cry this way. Again, how many countries would risk their soldiers' lives to go in and provide that fuel? But then how many groups, legitimate groups, would say, no, we can't use it for the hospital because the Jews sit that over. That can't be trusted. So we'd rather the children in the neonatal unit, if there's actually any children in that neonatal unit, which we don't know if there are, not have that power source.
In our book, Rise of ISIS, that we wrote in 2014, that was a New York Times bestseller, there are three chapters on Hamas. Our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson, and a couple of our team are going to update this, and we're going to get this out into a digital book right away. I'm hopeful in the next two, probably after Thanksgiving, on who Hamas is, what they've done, and then update it as to what they're doing now, because what's happened now is they've morphed into even more of an Iranian proxy. So that is coming. I also need to announce that we are filing today with the UN Working Group on Enforced or Involuntary Disappearance for four of our hostage families, clients that we represent. Now, that starts a process where the UN is on formal notice, number one, of the hostages legally. Two, they have to reach out to the governing power, which in this case will be Hamas. I'm not expecting an answer from Hamas, by the way. But what I'm doing is I'm putting the UN in a vice where they have to do action, and they can't just do one-sided statements anti-Israel. And I think what you're going to see, I'm hopeful here, is that we may have as many as 120 of the hostages. That's basically all of the Israeli hostages except for the military hostages and the 30 or 40 that are foreign nationals, right, not Israelis. We may well have them as clients by the end of the week, or certainly by the by Thanksgiving, I would say. And we're going to file 121 of these, or 120 or 80, whatever the number is, with these agencies and continue to press at the UN. At the same time, as I told you, we're looking at a move in Brussels with the Council of Europe and in Strasbourg with the European Parliament. And by the way, both the Council of Europe and the European Parliament has condemned Hamas, Jordan, as a terrorist organization.
That's right. That's because of the work of the ECLJ and the European Center for Law and Justice. And we have this question coming in. I think it's interesting, too. Gary on YouTube, who wrote in, whatever happened to the policy when the United States does not deal with terrorist or terror organization? Why do these people calling for ceasefires blame Israel for striking back? 2 points there. One, Dad, we've seen this disconnect where now, with inside the State Department diplomatic talk, you could separate a terrorist group political leadership from their militant leadership. And that's what they're trying to do with Hamas. Their political leadership lives in Doha. Their militant leadership lives in Gaza. And they're saying those are the terrorists. The political leaders are trying to, you know, run a territory. Of course, they don't actually live in that territory, and that there's some kind of separation there, and that we need to, even though Hamas is in control, still provide humanitarian aid to these people who elected Hamas. So, but who's in charge of that aid getting out? Of course, it's Hamas. So that does raise a question of, usually you would not support any kind of aid or assistance to a terror organization, even humanitarian aid, because you know that that humanitarian aid, 99% of the time, is not going to actually reach the people. The second part of your question is, why do these people calling for a ceasefire blame Israel for striking back? Dad, Hamas knew if they carried out an attack this brutal, and it worked, and it did, that Israel was going to respond in a way that it'd be very difficult for them to counter. They brought this on the people of Gaza.
People of Gaza should be blaming Hamas. None of this would have happened if Hamas didn't go in and kill 1,400 civilian Israelis in a day. None of this would have happened. So if you're going to blame anyone living in Gaza, you need to be blaming Hamas for this. Folks, we are handling this at the UN. We are handling it through multiple international diplomatic channels in the United States, through embassies and ambassadors. We have 10 lawyers working on this right now. That will expand, and that's where you come in. We are almost at the halfway point of our Faith and Freedom Drive. I guess we're probably third of the way in there. Go to ACLJ.org, the Faith and Freedom Drive. So go to ACLJ.org/faith and freedom and make your donation. It'll be doubled. But also, if you can add to that donation by saying, you know what, I'm going to make that $30 gift or whatever the amount is every month. You just press recurring or monthly. You become an ACLJ champion. And let me tell you what Logan and me and Jordan are trying to do. We want to. That's a foundation of our work. We have 15,000 champions right now. We really want to get to, we're closer to 17,000 now. We want to get to 30,000 by this time next year. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hi, welcome back to Seculo. We will take your calls to 1-800-684-3110 if you've got questions about the conflict in Israel, if you've got questions about what is going on inside our own country, these college campuses.
Yeah, I'm going to say something.
Again, the radicalism that we are seeing on the streets of the United States in major cities, on college campuses, and it's right on the edge of violence. I mean, I'd say there's been little acts of violence, but there's certainly been, we've seen too in Western Europe, this kind of gross vandalism. We've seen where, you know, Jewish homes have been marked and attacked just because a mezuzah is on a door, and those homes have been desecrated or, you know, spray painted. So we're seeing that kind of level of attack. It's usually that step below extreme violence, but we have seen someone be killed. In Los Angeles, a hit with a megaphone, killed on the streets. These are protests that are right on the edge of turning very violent quickly, because the rhetoric used by the pro-Palestinian groups is rhetoric that calls for the elimination of an entire people group.
Well, when you say from the ocean to the river to the sea, that's what you're calling for. But let me just read you something. More than 200 universities, including leading universities in the United States, received $13 billion in what is called undocumented contributions from foreign governments. $13 billion. So you want to know why these university presidents are not speaking out? There's why. Now, we're going to get to the bottom of that, too, because we're asking for Congress to have hearings and oversight on this. Our government affairs team is working on that. We're leaving no stone unturned here, folks. But this is all part of the play. $13 billion. So no wonder social justice for Palestine students are causing problems. They got a lot of money and they're organized. But this is the reason we fight back, and we fight back so aggressively, which we are at the ACLJ. Now, I got to tell you, can I take people inside what the work is like right now?
Yeah.
So we were in Washington last week. I was there the whole week. Jordan was there part of the week. Needed to get back to the studios here to help on keep our broadcast going. Those are long days. We're meeting with these families. We met with, I mean, think about who we met with. The leadership of the House of Representatives, Republican and Democrats. Okay? I mean, there you have pictures. That's with them. So you've got that going on. There it is with the Democratic side. And Jared Moskowitz did a major job for us, and then I appreciated it. Dan Goldman, who I battled out on the floor of the United States Senate on impeachment, was there, and we both embraced. I mean, it's that serious. Those are the offices of the ACLJ fully utilized for this. That's the size of the delegation, you know, 15 people that we were moving through Washington over a three-day period. We'll be doing the same in Brussels and in Strasbourg. We have got to keep this at the forefront. If we do not keep it at the forefront, it will fade, and it will fade quickly. So the goal here is our faith in freedom drive right now is, and you're talking about freedom, what's more important than getting out of a hostage situation? And as believers, we have a special obligation here, and we've also been given the resources to do this. We moved a lot of people. Our offices in Washington were fully engaged. You know, we bought the building next door to our office in Washington for about $5 million, about what, Jordan, 6 months ago?
Yep.
We had an option on it for 23 years. We finally were able to exercise it. Needs about $1.5 million worth of work. I want to raise money in December and get that building. I want that building started because we could have used it yesterday. We are busting at the seams. These are global issues that the ACLJ is front and center on. And I don't know if you're out there watching this broadcast and can make a $1 million gift. I will tell you, we got a $4.5 million gift just last 2 weeks ago. So you can make our job easier by supporting the work. And that's whether it's $30 or $3 million. And obviously, the monthly gifts are what's so significant here. Jordan's going to tell you how you can do it. But folks, it really makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to ACLJ.org today and donate. You can become, again, through our Faith and Freedom Drive, your tax-deductible gift will be doubled dollar for dollar through that ACLJ Faith and Freedom Drive. But we do ask, if you're able to, you can become an ACLJ champion. with a recurring monthly donation. So choose an amount that you're comfortable with that again, it's automatically donates to the ACLJ each month. We look at those recurring donations, we can really plan because we know what's going to be definitely coming into the ACLJ that month. And so if we've got something big like this that pops up, we've got the resource for it. Go to ACLJ.org. Back to Secchio. So you see the anti-Semitism on college campuses, even college campuses where you've got majority Jewish students, places like Tulane University, violence there breaking out with protests. You've seen, again, in some of the more liberal universities up in the Northeast and across the country, just, again, massive protest with violent rhetoric against Jews and Israel. One in New York over the weekend that was calling for an intifada from New York to Gaza. I mean, so think about that. That would be a terrorist uprising, a violent uprising supported by these groups from New York to Gaza. So what's in between there? All of Europe and most of the Middle East. I mean, so this is what, again, these radicals have now moved to the point of advocating for extreme violence. This is not about discussing some peace talks and some land swaps and living together in a kumbaya moment. This is about the destruction of Israel now. They finally let it, they finally actually, I think, you know, they still cover themselves up with a keffiyeh because they're all cowards that don't want to be recognized. They're still too scared that they'll lose their jobs or their careers or they'll be, again, in the United States. They mask themselves up. But the truth is, they're now letting their true views be known about how much they hate Jews.
But the college campus presidents are saying nothing. They have no backbone. They're acting like a bunch of wimps. And Harry, you've been in the academy for a long time. This problem on the university campus is very serious.
It's very serious, and it's been coming home to roost for the last 20 or 30 years. I think the evidence is absolutely clear that evil runs through the human heart, and it now runs through campuses from New York to California, from Washington State to Florida. I think students have allowed their minds to be both coddled and simultaneously poisoned with rhetoric and ideology that is evil, even beyond the evil that the world experienced through Nazism, because what we are seeing is an embrace by students of absolute evil, and they're absolutely proud of it. So if you look at the events at Rutgers University over the last several weeks, we can now find clear and unmistakable evidence that the Rutgers students sympathize with caging toddlers or other types of misconduct. After, for instance, Hamas was designated a terrorist organization, by the way, that was fueled by the rhetoric and the theology of the Muslim Brotherhood,
right,
it unleashed a brutal attack on Israel. Rutgers students, however, like the students at Harvard, like the students at MIT and the University of Pennsylvania, drunk on the notion of victimhood, they have decided to stand with and to defend Hamas rather than the Israelis who were savagely killed. And they're now claiming that the videos that are circulating, which prove the terror, which prove the savagery, that is simply Israeli misinformation. And so we have a client at Rutgers University who stood up to those claims, and guess what? He was attacked as supporting discrimination. He was attacked as opposing, for instance, the trans agenda. Well, what he was trying to do, at least in my opinion, was to stand up for Jews everywhere in the world, and I think we should. Rod Dreher has done a brilliant job of basically outlining what took place on October the 7th. Hamas invaded Israel that morning. Terrorists streamed across the borders in pickup trucks, motorcycles, on foot, and on paragliders. Once inside Israel, they abducted and murdered Israelis. Nonetheless, the students at Rutgers are saying, none of this really happened.
Right.
This is an illusion foisted on the world by the Jews.
The Zionist propaganda machine is what they call it, which is, by the way, what the Nazis use that same kind of language. Now, here's the issue. So we've got the situation resolved for our student. And if you're a student that has experienced discrimination, go to ACLJ.org, helpline. We've got two lawyers dedicated to help you, and we will do it, and we'll get results. But this is outrageous. What happened at Tulane recently is outrageous. But, Harry, I ask this question. The university presidents are saying basically nothing. Nothing. And their faculty are saying horrible things about Jews, and the presidents and the deans are saying nothing.
I think your analysis is absolutely spot on, but it's important to realize over the last several years, perhaps decades, university presidents have had their backbone surgically removed.
Yeah.
And they are now wimps in very expensive outfits. And basically, they have accepted the claim that Israel is the oppressor, even though there are only 7 million Israelis in the Middle East. There are over 100 million Arabs, and each and every Arab country has basically expelled all Jews from their country. Nonetheless, Israel is accused of being an apartheid regime. It's being accused of being an occupier. Former President Obama basically suggested Israel was engaged in an occupation. Now the world is claiming that Israel's response to terror, which is to go after Hamas leadership, that response is not proportional. Well, of course it's proportional. If you saw the pictures, if you heard the stories, what Israel is now doing is more, it is absolutely proportional, and I think Israel has to root out Hamas and its leadership.
Which they're doing militarily. There's going to be, so the ceasefire cannot happen. By the way, I want your reaction to all of this. We're opening up our phone lines now. 1-800-684-3110. On the situation with Israel, on the hostility towards students, on our work on the hostages, anything related to that. The Biden administration's approach to this, 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open now.
Yeah, and I think you know what other people are overseeing too. I mean, I just saw this Sunday, 10,000 in the streets in Austin, Texas, supporting Hamas on Sunday.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, again, the ability for them to turn on the protest machine, and for people to go out there and put themselves out there publicly in support of these horrendous terror acts, and where they try, as Harry said, they try to say, well, that's not even true, that didn't happen. It doesn't matter. You know, at some point, I know that the full imagery hasn't come out yet, and a lot of people in the news have seen it, a lot of politicians have seen it, Dad, but the world has not yet seen what was on these body cameras.
Correct.
100%. Some of it is... I don't even know if they could show it on regular television. I think that you'd have to have some kind of special.
Are you talking about for the 45-minute video?
I've
seen it.
Yes.
Horrors that you cannot even
broadcast to the world.
Horrors that you cannot even imagine. If the world saw that, they would say, do whatever is necessary to eliminate these people forever.
I hope. Unless they thought it was fake. And I think that's the problem now, is that we've given them enough time to say, no, they're telling you about all these atrocities. They're just setting this up to look like all these atrocities happened. They didn't really happen. And, Dad, we know from some others as well, and I'm going to name them. They say it's not Hamas, it's Palestinian Islamic Jihad. It's their problem. It's not really the Hamas that did this. It's Palestinian Islamic Jihad. They're the crazy ones in this situation. But the truth is, I think until that video is able to get out to those who could stomach it. And by the way, all those protesters, like the 10,000 in Austin, they should be forced to watch it.
Yeah.
Before they go do a stake, before another protest, because they should know who they're protesting for. Know who you're advocating for.
I can't imagine if they knew they would. So I'm going to give them that. Folks, here's what we want you to do. We're coming to the last segment of the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Any of the topics we discussed are open for you, 800-684-3110. We continue our fight, and our faith and freedom drive is in full gear. We did not know when we launched this we would be in the middle of this Israel thing, but faith and freedom are really at play here. Today, we have filed four major appeals to the United Nations demanding international action for the hostages. First time that's been done. We could be representing as many as 120 more hostage families this week into next, and we will then be filing those. You know about the anti-Semitism here in the United States. We just announced the win at Rutgers University. In order to meet these legal demands, we've launched our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your tax-deductible gifts will be doubled dollar for dollar through this ACLJ Faith and Action Drive. So I encourage you to go to aclj.org/faithandfreedom and donate today. You can also become an ACLJ champion. This is very important, with a recurring monthly gift. Many, many of you, dozens of you, 50, 60, 70, 100 of you are doing that a day. If we keep that up for a year, we will double the number of ACLJ champions and have close to 30,000 by this time next year. ACLJ.org/faithandfreedom. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110 coming up next.
Back to Secular. We are going to take calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Cheryl's calling in from New York, watching on YouTube. Hey, Cheryl, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Okay, so I understand that under the First Amendment, people are entitled to peaceful protest, free speech. Yep. In light of what is happening, and I live in New York, so it's protesting every single weekend. And almost every day, they're calling out for the destruction of not just the Jews in Israel, but Jews all over.
Yep.
And it's starting to get violent now. So why then? To me, then this doesn't fall under peaceful protesting
right.
and free speech. This is dangerous, and they're calling for the extermination of a people group. Why is this being then allowed to continue?
Okay, Cheryl, you asked a great question. First of all, the calling for the imminent destruction of a people group, if it's imminent, like let's co-kill the Jews, that would not be protected by the First Amendment. But the First Amendment does give broad protection to very hateful speech. And that's part of what it is. But as soon as that turns violent, their right to free speech ends. And that's where these arrests have to come into play. You saw that in New York City. It's all over New York City. It's in the middle of the city in Manhattan. It's in near Broadway. It's up in Times Square. It's up in the Upper East Side. I mean, it's all over. And they have to get control of this. Now, they got a city that's out of control right now. So that's part of the problem. So you have to balance the First Amendment interest of their right to speak with the ability of the police to keep law and order. And that's the real challenge here. And I think it's going to be a challenge until when there's supposed to be a march tomorrow in Washington. It'll be very interesting. I'm praying there is a good result. Could be hundreds of thousands of people in Washington standing with Jews, standing with Israel. That will make a gigantic difference. So we're optimistic about that. But again, we got to continue to pray for that kind of response. Peaceful protests are allowed. Violence is not.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes it's a line, but this is getting pretty close to that line in a lot of these statements.
Yep.
As well as the actions that they are promoting. You know, what are they promoting with their language? Let's go to Kim in Indiana online too. Hey, Kim.
Hey, I was just wanting to call in because I work in an art school, and all over the walls where the kids put their posters and stuff, there were these posters everywhere that said murdered by Israel. And it had each one had like a different age of a person, different date or whatever they were murdered, and said, let Palestinians have their right to their land. And I thought, are you stinking kidding me? So anyway,
is this the college level or high school level? What level is this?
It's college level.
So they're going to argue, this administration's going to argue, well, they're just exercising their free speech rights by putting this up there. And then the question will be, is it disruptive to the educational environment? Are they advocating something that, like if they put up there from the river to the sea, that's calling for the elimination of a people group, that's genocide. That should not be protected. I mean, you could say it, But if they're taking action on particular students, that's where the dilemma is. So that what the pro-Israel students, pro-Jewish students need to do is put up their own posters. That's what needs, you counter speech, you disagree with more speech. That's the tension here, but that's what has to be put in place.
Now, what we know is that those students are worried. Yeah, they're going to be targeted on campus, both not just by the administrations, the teachers that might not like them, but also fellow students. That are, I mean, we see them ripping them down, you know, signs. It's anything that's pro-Israel, and people are taking videos, and that's good that they're exposing people doing that. But, you know, they'll show the people that are kidnapped and people are going through New York and other cities and ripping down those kidnapping protesters. I think, you know, we're just at this unique time. For those of you who have been supporting Israel for decades and our long-term ACLJ supporters, our long-term listeners to this broadcast, you have been. You've gotten why we have the office in Jerusalem. You understand why it's so important to stand with Israel on so many different levels. But I want you to know and understand that it's maybe not your kids, but your grandkids, if they are going to just a kind of a regular college, I mean, not some extreme college either, lefty college, but just kind of regular collegiate experience, they are likely hearing horrendous things about Israel that make Israel out to be the bad guy and that make the Palestinians out to be the good guy. The resistance fighters, you know, as they'll say, one man's terrorist, another man's resistance fighter. In this case, when you go to the point of killing children and babies, and taking ISIS tactics to civilians, that's not fighting a resistance against a military or an occupying military. That's terrorism, and the fact that terrorism and actually promoting and celebrating terrorism has become the norm on college campuses in the United States, it should concern Americans because they also, by the way, believe that our country is responsible. They will, in these same yes. remarks, you know who they're not shouting about? They're not just saying Republicans. They're saying Biden. Biden, you have blood on your hands. So it's not just about Republican and Democrat. It is about those willing to stand with Israel and the Jewish people. And those who are either afraid to speak out or who have joined this mob mentality of that it's somehow cool and trendy to go and protest and wrap your face in a head covering so no one can see you when they take pictures of you for Palestinians.
I want to lay out for people.
How do these liberal groups, what are they thinking? You think you're part of some lesbian group on campus and you're protesting for Hamas? They'd kill you right in the street. The first thing they would do when you showed up to the Gaza and you tried to say, hey, we're the lesbians for us, they would at least imprison you, throw you out at best.
Or throw you off the top of the building,
at
which
best,
they
wouldn't let you in.
Right.
At worst, you'd be dead. Okay, there's no women's rights. You'd be driving a car. You'd be educating anybody. You certainly wouldn't be in college. They might use you to do a suicide attack.
They like that.
Maybe. Maybe. But that's about it. I mean, so come on. I mean, are you that uneducated to know... I mean, think about these students who think all these great things. We can decide what, you know, if we're men or we're women and we're going to come up with our own terms. Go see how that works in the Gaza Strip, talking to Hamas terrorists. See how long you can teach at some school in the Gaza Strip teaching about trans history. And see how long they'll let you do that before they either kill you or, at best, throw you out of the country. And yet you're the ones taking the streets for these monsters.
Disgusting. That's these left-wing groups that are marching for freedom with Hamas have to have their heads examined. And I mean that. And I mean it sincerely. It's outrageous. You have no idea what you're even talking about. None. But let me say this, okay? We've got a big couple of weeks here. I just got a message from one of our colleagues in Israel, one of the lawyers. They are meeting with hostage families Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, where they've been relocated. And we'll start getting the additional hostage families that we're representing at the UN. We filed the four at the UN today. So that has been filed with the committee that deals with these kind of things. We've also could be, as I said, representing almost up to 120. That's very possible. We're fighting anti-Semitism here. We have the win at Rutgers. None of this happens without your support. Go to ACLJ.org. Your tax-deductible gift will be doubled dollar for dollar through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to ACLJ.org to donate today. You can also become an ACLJ champion. This is very important, folks. When you make that $30 gift or $40 gift or whatever it is and make it monthly, you become an ACLJ champion, it radically changes our budget. Radically impacts how much work we can do, expanding our broadcast facilities. All of that can happen. We got an estate gift this year, this week, of $4.5 million. I believe that we can get a large gift for our building in Washington, D.C., where we need about $1.5 million. ACLJ.org. Back with more tomorrow.